It's time for Mighty Winds of Praise with Pastor David Tucker, a media ministry of the Rushing Wind Church of God.
Who am I that you are mindful of me?
Contact Pastor Tucker at rwcogpastor@gmail.com. That's rwcogpastor@gmail.com. Or through the website, www.rushingwindchurch.com. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor David Tucker on VOTL Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor David Tucker, and I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm so excited about what God is doing in our church, and I'm so proud and glad to be able to share with you just a little bit of it. I want to take you now into one of our services so that you can hear part of a message preached by retired pastor J.P. Sims. I hope you enjoy it and that you will let us know by contacting us through our website. The announcer will give you at the end of this broadcast. God bless you is our prayer.
Many people have speculated why he picked up 5 stones. Well, I can tell you right off without any more question, he picked up 5 because he wanted to. Some said it was because of Goliath's kinfolks. Some said he was operating in faith. Some said it was God told him to pick up 5. Well, why would God tell him 5 if he didn't need but 1? Amen. Just needed some assurance, didn't he? But I begin to think about these 5 stones and what they represent, and I touched on this a little bit the other night. The first stone was the stone of the past. We know what David's past victories were, starting with the lion, the bear, and then Goliath. And if you read that real good, it just really amazes me because little old David said, I took the lion and the bear by the beard. That means hand-to-hand, close combat. And just grabbed them and opened their mouths and took the lion out. Or took the lamb out of the lion's mouth and the bear's mouth. But we begin to think about all the past victories that David had. This red-headed little ruddy boy who was just operated like a servant, because that was a servant's job. Wasn't respected by his other siblings. Get over on the backside over where we won't have to see you, because you're not as good looking as we are, and so on and so forth. And I can just see David over there just taking care of the sheep and singing and carrying on and writing songs and stringing his harp and just doing everything that needed to be done. And when we begin to think about the past, you and I begin to think about the past, and I believe really assured tonight that if I was just to ask somebody, tell me something good about the past, you could do it. Let's try it. Brother Greg, tell me something good about the past where God's concerned. Mercy. Just pick one.
Pick one. That's hard. In my ministry, being allowed to be a part of planning several great churches.
Amen. D. Amen. Isn't that great? Amen. Serena. She said it. Y'all didn't hear it, but she said mercy. Amen. She didn't mean to say it, but she said it. Amen. We all been down that road, haven't we?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Red, give us one.
Saved a soul like mine.
Amen. You said every time I speak to you, when my feet touch the floor, I give God the praise. You see, and we can think back to our past. This is what David is doing with that first stone, thinking back to my past. Remembering what God has done for me in the past, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do for me in the future. Because the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'm going to be with you even unto the end of the way. Amen? He said there's no temptation that's going to come to you that in all these I'm going to make a way of escape. All you got to do is look for the escape route. And the Lord said, I've got an escape route there if you'll just find it and let me do what I need to do. The second stone was the stone of prayer. Before going up to Goliath, David went down into the creek. David went down, he tells us, before the fight. He went in prayer. And prayer was long and prayer was hard. Paul said prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Amen. Let me tell you something that may shock you. People can tell when you stop praying. You don't have to wave a banner. You don't have to send out emails or put it on Facebook. People will know when your praying has stopped. Because your victory is going to stop. Your great outlook is going to stop. You're putting your total dependency and faith in God has stopped. And you decide, I'm going into this battle and I do not need God. Oh, I wonder what David would have said. I don't need you, God. You stay home today. I'm going to take care of this. I just about imagine David was kind of like Moses. Moses said, God, if you don't go, I'm not going. And I hear David saying, God, if you're not going, I'm not going. And I've told God that myself a few times. God, if you want me to go, then you're going to have to go with me. Because if you're not going, I'm not going. Amen? And we have to pray, learn how to pray. And pray long. And pray hard. And this is something I think it's lacking in the church today. And I may be wrong. Is full-blooded prayer warriors. I know we have prayer teams and prayer chains and prayer this and prayer that. And that's all good and well. But I remember back to some old prayer warriors. They knew how to pray. My mother was one. My dad was one. If you didn't want prayer, don't ask him to pray. Amen. It wasn't too long ago I was in Lowe's and a brother came by and said, Brother Sims, I really need you to pray for me. In the name of Jesus. And I could hear him saying, not right here. And I looked and the aisle was all of a sudden deserted. And my opinion is if you don't want prayer, don't ask for it. Because if you need prayer, you don't need it next week or next month or the hour after that. You need prayer then or you wouldn't have asked for it. So let that be a lesson for you. If you see me in Kroger's or Walmart or somewhere, if you want prayer, don't ask right there. Just write me a note, I need prayer, and pray when I leave.
That takes all fun out of it.
For me, it does. Because I learned a long time ago, when somebody asks for prayer, pray. Well, preacher, the Bible says everything is done decently in order. I was decent and I was in order.
Amen.
And I learned that. There were several of us in Rhines and Lexington, and this man walked in. I've told you this before. And he said, I need prayer. And I passed it off. And I said, but we'll get to it later. I told me that. You know how we are. We don't want to really get embarrassed or anything. That's the first time I'd ever done that. And David Cron was sitting there with me. Said, we need to pray now. And immediately conviction got on me. We prayed now. And I know everybody in Rhines was watching. You know, the devil has no, he don't care how much he shows himself. The nastier he gets, the more he shows himself, the better people like it. But I'm ready to let God show himself.
Amen.
Amen. And I can hear David praying and talking to God and just letting God minister. He said he strengthened, David said he strengthens himself in the Lord his God. And Paul said, my strength cometh from the Lord. Because in my weakness, he's made strong. And when I get to where I can't go any further, that's just where he wants you to be. Because how many times have you said, I've done all I can do, now I'm going to get the church to pray for me? And I've always said, why not get them to pray for you first? And then do all you can do. Because when you've done that, the Bible says, having done all, do what? Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, my hope cometh from the Lord. David's hope was not in them rocks. David's hope was not in the armor that he could not wear. David's hope was not in the sword he could not pick up. David's hope was in God. And when you get to the place where there's nothing left, amen? And so many times we get to that place and we call the pastor and start whining and carrying on. Amen. Oh, pastor. And again I say, why not get with the saints and get it taken care of beforehand? Remember, I've said this to you time and time again. I remember when the old saint said, if I can just get to church, everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
I just got to get with some brothers and sisters. And we know this in the natural because we have this, something happens in the family and the family wants to gather around. But the problem is, most time when they gather around to eat. There may be catastrophe going on outside, but buddy, we're having a good time inside. Everybody bring a pot full of good stuff. Amen.
Amen.
But what have we decided? I'm gathering with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's going to spread the table. And we're going to feed on the manna from above. Oh, can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
We're going to let God just pour out his blessings upon us that we cannot contain. My giant is standing back there, and I am facing my giant, and the Holy Spirit is going before me, and I can see power, I can see victory, I can see anointing. Giant, watch out, here I come. I've been through the brook, I've been through prayer, I'm coming out the other side, and you get ready, because here I come. It may be the giant of fear, it may be the giant of doubt. Oh, amen. It may be the giant of drugs. It may be the giant of alcohol. And the giants go on and on and on. But this one thing I know, like Paul, I know in whom I have believed. And he is able. Can you say with me? He is able. Say it again. He is able. Look at somebody and point at him and say, God is able. David said in Psalms 59, you have been my defense. Say defense. And you have been my refuge. Say refuge. In the day of my trouble. Woo! You have been my defense. You have been my refuge in my day of trouble. Look out and see 6,000 of the finest army there is. And there's only 600 of you. and you start whining to the man of God. Kind of like Elijah go out and see what's going on out there, and he comes back and he said, "Oh, man of God, the army's in the front, the army's in the back, the army's on each side." How many times have you learned that? I don't even want to go out the door. I know what's outside that door. I know what's outside there. I know what's at work. I know what's going to take place. I know what's happening in the family. I know what's happening in my body. I just don't want to go out the door. I want to sit in my pity party, and I want to whine and cry and bawl and squall. But the man of God said, "Go look again." He come back and said, "Man of God, there's angels in front of us. There's angels in back of us. There's angels on the right. There's angels on the left. There are more with us than that are against us." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." No matter what comes your way, the Lord said, "I have made a way for you to get out of it." And how do I get out of it? I go to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes I have to pray hard, but I believe a lot of us were really honest with ourselves. We don't pray that hard. We definitely don't pray that long. Amen? David soaked his mind with God. Soaked his mind. And if I had, you know, a week to stand up here and go through the book of Psalms, I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture where he just soaked his mind in God. You know, he didn't sit out there on a rock while he was tending sheep and just, you know, took naps. He was thinking about God. Lift your hands and just worship him right now. Oh, la, 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 bahoshanda. The Holy Spirit just spoke to somebody and said, "If you'll let me, I will take care of this situation." Somebody needs to receive that in the name of Jesus. You've been fretting. You've been worrying. You've been trying to take care of this situation. You need to shut up. Pastor can talk to me about my language later. You need to shut up and say, "God, I place this in your hands and I refuse to deal with it anymore." Woo! Can I get a witness right there? I refuse to deal with it anymore. Praise God. But how can I do that? Isaiah put it this way. He said, God said, "I will keep him in perfect." Say that word.
Perfect.
All who trust in God, whose thoughts are fixed. Fixed. Say fixed.
Fixed.
On him.
On him.
If I'm centering my attention on the trouble, that's where my attention is. I've read doctors who have said, and I don't know how true this is, I'm just going to repeat what I've read, that a lot of people who have heart attacks or cancer, they get to thinking on this so much, it consumes them. And I know what that means. Because when I had cancer, it was hard not to think about it. And it took prayer. And it took getting in the Word. And it took getting around my brothers and sisters. You know, and I've had people say, "Brother Sims, you need to be a little nicer to these people. And I said, I can't bring healing if I'm petting them.
Amen.
I never read where Jesus petted them. The lame man came, oh, you poor baby. You poor sweet thing. Get up and walk.
Amen. That's right.
The man came and said, my son has a demon that throws him in the fire. Oh, you poor baby. You poor little thing. How could my father give you a son like that? Get on home. Your boy's okay. And I didn't hear the father saying, it's not scriptural, but, huh? What you say? And I can hear him. My daughter's sick. She's on the verge of death. Come on, Jesus, get in a hurry. Cain, I've got people to minister to. All of a sudden, the servant came. Leave the master alone. The daughter's dead. Huh? What? She's not dead. She's just asleep. Ha! Yeah, he's gone crazy now. I just wonder how many times people have told me, told others, he's a nut. I was talking to Pastor David about this just a few weeks ago. It was in this church, and a lady was deaf. Was you in that conversation? And she come up for healing, and she stood right over there. And I was praying for people, and I started down there, and the Holy Spirit said, don't pray for her yet. You remember that? And I kept praying for people, didn't I? And she started getting aggravated. And I started back down that way, and the Holy Spirit said, don't go down there yet. And me being real intelligent, I said, why? And him being more intelligent didn't answer me. He just said, keep praying for people. And finally he said, go pray for her. And I started down here, and when I got there, she said, forget it. I don't want prayer now. It took you too long. And the Holy Spirit said, she did not want to be healed. She likes her condition. And she's still deaf today. Am I speaking the truth, Pastor? She's still deaf, isn't she? And he told me, he said, she would have been healed right then of deafness. What are you saying? I'm saying there's some people like to wallow. Pour on me. If I can just get just a little attention over my condition. Hello? But you know, I like getting attention over my healing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Don't you? Woo! Well, when you have knees like mine, Bill, you can't do that jump anymore, so you just do what you can do. Come on, amen. Amen. But David said, went down. And sometimes we got to go down so he can lift us up. And he said, if I lift you up,
amen. Come on.
If I lift you up, I will draw all men unto me. I say, Lord, lift me up. The third stone is the stone of priority. David guarded God's reputation. Amen? And I asked you, where is your priority? Most of our priorities is in what I want. Amen? Our priorities is how do I feel. My priority is don't hurt my feelings. But if you ever read this book, I've had my feelings hurt a whole lot reading this book. Have you, Carmen? Constantly. Amen. And we read where there's coming a time, and it may be now, preach to us the things we want to hear, not the things we need. Amen. And if you start preaching the things out of the Word, we'll find an easy place. Let me give you the bottom line on that story. Hell won't be easy. So I've got to get my priority in the place it belongs. And I liked what the preacher said the other night, and I haven't forgotten it, and I'm going to use it until I wear it completely out. And when he said it, Pastor David was sitting behind me, and I gave him the high sign. I was sitting in front of him, a little to his left, and I said, and Pastor, you knew where I was going, didn't you? And what he said, there's too many church members with eye trouble. Woo! Did y'all get that back there? Let me say it again. Too many church people with eye trouble. I was told yesterday that Noah's got to have glasses and Brooklyn's got to have glasses. And I immediately turned spiritual. I said, God needs to put some glasses on everybody in the church so they could start seeing him.
Amen.
Oh, Uralobo Santa. In the name of Jesus. We can't see Jesus because we got scales on our eyes. We can't feel the presence of God because we got calluses. Not knee calluses either. And we want the Spirit to move. As long as He does it between 11:30 and 11:59 on Sunday morning. Uh-oh. So I begin to say, where is my priority? You do things the way I want them done. Uh-oh. Somebody threw that back at me. You people are no better than that. But we need to come to the place and say, my priority is knowing God's will. Amen. And chastisement is going to hurt. But hell is going to hurt a whole lot more. Because he says, I chastise those that what? What? Say it out loud. I love. And he goes on to say, if a parent don't chastise the child, the parent don't love the child. That's why I nearly beat mine to death. Let them know I loved them. None of them's in here, so they don't need to know that. The funniest thing that ever happened, and I'm still amazed, I made me a whipping board one time. And I overdid it. And I come in the house with my paddle. Y'all won't believe this, but it's true. Sister Bird said, you're not whipping my boys with that. And took my whipping paddle and throwed it out the door.
I believe it.
And you know what I said? She's not in here. You know what I said? Yes, ma'am. But see, God wants us to get our priority right. Go into 1 Samuel. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 17. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Whew. Somebody else say, praise the Lord. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. If you didn't bring your Bible, oh, shame on you. Because you don't know if I'm reading what's right or not. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine. See, you need to talk to your giant sometimes. Pam's with me. Let me say it again. You need to talk to your giant sometimes. You come to me and put whatever word you want in there. Doubt, fear, hatred, jealousy, gossip. I got an amen then. With a spear and a shield. But giant, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The God. Say the God.
God.
Woo! Don't you just feel power when you say that? Don't you feel power when you say that?
Amen.
Don't say it again. The God. Sister, don't you feel power when you say that? Say it again. Woo! Of Israel. And I say, giant, the God of JP. Because that giant's got personal. As soon as he crossed the line, he got personal. And when they start getting personal with JP, JP gets closer to God. Whom you hath defied. Jack, you tried to kill me. But bring it on.
Amen.
I'm going to get behind my brother. Come on, amen. The Lord is going to deliver you into my hand, giant.
Amen.
And I'm going to stomp on you. When's the last time you got in your bedroom with your giant and said, you're under my feet, you're under my feet. I'm stomping a mud hole in you, you're under my feet. Well, I hope it don't look like you do when you're doing it, preacher. Don't matter how you look, it matters if you do it. That's why you do it in the bedroom with the door shut. Verse 47, and this and all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with a sword. Testimony.
Amen. Praise God.
With the spear. For the battle is what?
Is the Lord's.
Is who?
The Lord's.
Is who?
The Lord's.
And what will he do?
He's going to give him into my
hand. Woo! Hang on, giant. I'm getting you by the beard, and I'm turning you every which way but loose. When I get done with you, you're going to head back to hell where you belong. I've got my priority worked out. I am a child of the King. Oh, and I'm going to guard God's reputation. I hear some of you say, well, I don't understand that. I'm going to guard his reputation by being a man of God. If you're a woman, you can be guarded by being a woman of God. I'm going to guard it because everything that proceedeth out of my mouth is going to be praise to God. I may be talking about job stuff on the job, but it's going to come out with such love and adoration, and people are going to get so sick and tired of seeing me coming, they're going to do what they're supposed to do before I even get there.
Amen.
Amen. I was sharing with Jimmy just a few minutes ago. I had something happen to me over in Evansville Monday, and I told him, and he knows it, that if it had happened several years ago, that guy would have been in a whole lot of trouble. Because he hadn't done bit off more than he could chew. But something got a hold of me. And I was looking at him, I just said, out the door I went. And self said, get back in there. And the Holy Spirit said, just stay out here in the cold. Are you understanding? You understanding? The battle is the Lord's. Lift your hands. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The next one is a stone of passion. I've got a passion for Jesus Christ. I've got a passion to serve Jesus. I've got a passion. You got a passion, or you wouldn't have went to New Orleans. Amen. I've got a passion. Amen. Or I wouldn't have went to Guatemala. Got a video today where they're baptizing children in the orphanage. Woo, that's so great. I've got a passion. That's why I went to Bangkok, Thailand last year and was in that Hosea conference. And been invited to go back again this year. Not going. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
I've got a passion to see lost souls saved.
Amen.
And until you get that passion, you got eye trouble.
Amen.
I've got a passion, Bill, to see them won to God and sanctified and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Out of a sundial and speak another tongue as the Spirit gives the utterance.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, I think we get lazy and lose our passion. Let me say something that's going to shock you, but the Holy Spirit, I think, dropped it into me so I could share it with you. And if it offends you, you forgive me now and let's get over it. Back when I was studying psychology and all this other stuff, I said I studied it, never applied it. Wasn't smart enough. But I read and I studied where men and women fall out of love. And I read where they lose their passion. And I read where one or the other would say, they no longer have a passion for me. They don't want to no longer be with me. We are no longer intimate. Are you understanding?
Amen.
And I read in the Word where God says, my children, these are my words now, have lost their passion. His words now. Now they go whoring after the world because they've lost their passion for me. Woo! And I begin to think about that. Oh, remember when I said earlier, people don't have to announce where they quit praying. Because they start losing their passion.
Amen.
And I read further on how do you tell them to get that passion back. And one well-noted person said, you just start by touching them. Don't have to get physical. Don't have to do any of this other kind of stuff. Just touch them. Touch me, sister. I'm not going to hurt you. Just touch them. Amen? Just touch. And the Spirit is saying to you and to me and to this church, I am standing here. Let me touch you. I just want to touch you. I want you to get your passion back for me. I want you to get your love back to come to my house. Pastor, you with me? I want you to get your passion back. You know, nobody, no matter who asked me anything about Bertie, if they're not careful, I'll brag until the ears fall off. But at the same time, if they dare ask me about my Savior, I'll wear them out. I'll wear them out because I'm proud of my Savior. Because I know where He brought me from. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. And I come to His house not because I have to, because I want to. We don't gather and pray because we have to. If they made us, we'd balk. Come on. Amen. And those that don't know what balk is, it's that spirit of stubbornness that gets on you. You can't make me pray. You're right. If I had to make you pray, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But when I've got a passion, my mom and dad never did say to me, son, you need to go see Bertie. Had that burning desire. Don't hit him. He's right on the mark. And if you're going to hit him harder. That was a burning desire. I've got to be with Bertie. What's a Bertie? You don't know and you don't need to know. Amen. You were the same way. You can say amen louder than that, brother, because you do got to go home with her tonight. Amen. But I've got such a burning desire. You know what I got a desire to see? Pastor, listen to me. I've got a desire to see souls saved. I want to see sinners in this altar. Because I've got a passion for Jesus. Amen. Lift your hands and worship with me. My Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, worship Him with me. My Father, in the name of Jesus. My Father, in the name of Jesus. Because I read what Joel chapter 2 said. Your sons and daughters are going to be prophesying. Young men's going to do what? Have dreams. The old man's going to have visions. And I will pour out my spirit upon the handmaids. That's you, baby. Oh, pour out your spirit. Stretch your hands this way right here and say, pour out your spirit on this handmaiden over here in the holy name of Jesus. Are you a believer, sister? Are you a believer? Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Listen to what he said about passion. Listen. Chapter 21. I'm going to give you one verse. Verse 20, and there was yet a battle in Gath where a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers, six toes, 24 in number, and he also was born a giant. Right off, we're scared of him. But here's a verse. Remember, David was the giant killer, but listen. And when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shema, the brother of David,
yes,
slew him.
Glory.
Did you get it?
Yes.
What was it?
Hallelujah.
David wasn't a giant slayer. Pastor, somebody else picked up the giant and slew the giant. Didn't wait on David to do it. He said, let me go against that giant. David, I've been where you've been. David, I've watched you. I've seen what you did. Now let me at that giant. Woo! Somebody say, praise the Lord. And before you know it, you won't be calling the pastor. But you'll say, hang on, devil. I know in whom I have believed. And he's given me authority over the giant. Lift your hands and praise the Lord tonight. I know. I know. Here's the bottom line. You got giants? Get in the spirit and kill them. You got family with giants? Challenge them. Show your ugly self to me. Because when you do, I'm going to kill you. Amen? This same church I'm going to, one of the elderly ladies called me on a Sunday after service and said, Pastor, get down here. He's beating me to death. Well, right off the bat, I didn't want to go down there. And I got down there, had my Bible in my hand, and the devil was on that man, and he literally picked me up off the floor. I'm serious. Picked me straight up off the floor like I was a little kid. And I had my Bible in my hand. My arms were crossed. I said, devil, bam, let me go. And down he went. Name was Kearney. I like them old names. His name was Kearney, and his wife's name was Zula Gray. I just love them names. First time I met this man, he come to the parsonage. I was under the parsonage fixing water line. And he grabbed me by the ankles and jerked me out and said, I just want to see how big you are. And I said, big enough. But he gave his heart to Jesus. And he said, preacher, need to clean my house. I said, no problem, Kearney. I said, Zula Gray, you hold the door open. I'm going to chase devils out of this house. They had a pretty good sized house. And about all afternoon, I was chasing devils. And I'm beginning to notice she wasn't closing the door, and I'd run one out. She let it come back in. I said, Zula Gray, when I run one out, shut the door. She said, oh, I forgot to do that. But just a few weeks later, this man was dying. All of his family, he'd been a mean rascal. He was in his late 70s. He'd been a mean rascal all his life. 6 or 7 or 8 children gathered around and said, "Brother Sims, it's hard for us to believe that he accepted Christ as his Savior." I said, "Well, let's just gather around the bed and start praying." And we started praying. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "This is my son. I'm taking him home." And all of them started dancing in the Spirit. Can you say praise the Lord? Why? Because that giant had had his way for nearly 80 years. All the pastors in the past stayed away from him because they was afraid of him. I'm serious. But all of a sudden, they got a pastor from Texas that wasn't real smart. And he walked right into the dens of lions and challenged him. "Are you listening to me tonight? My priority, Tony, was to get rid of the giant and set the man free through the blood of Jesus Christ." And not only did they dance there, they danced at his funeral. Well, that wasn't very nice. Well, sure it was. Because he was on his way to hell. And now he's in heaven. Paul said, "Rejoice when they go to heaven." Woo! Stand to your feet. I believe I could go on for another hour here, but oh, lift your hands and just start worshiping the Lord.
"I'm tired of you, Satan. You've messed with me too long. You've tried to ruin my life and steal my song. But I serve notice on you. You don't have a chance, for I'm covered by the precious blood of the Holy Lamb.
I'm a blood-bought, bona fide child of the King. He wrapped me in his loving arms, made me royalty. No matter what may come my way, you can hold me down. I'll be shouting hallelujah while dancing on solid ground.
One day the time will come when every knee shall bow, and every saint of God will leave the ground. You'll be thrown into the pit of fire, never to return. Sometime sooner than you think, this lesson you will learn.
I'm a blood-bought, bona fide child of the King. He wrapped me in his loving arms, made me royalty. No matter what may come my way, you can hold me down. I'll be shouting hallelujah while dancing on solid ground.
I'm taking back my joy. I'm taking back my peace. I'm taking back all the things the devil stole from me.
I'm taking back my joy. I'm taking back my peace. I'm taking back all the things the devil stole from me.
Cause I'm a blood-bought, bona fide child of the King.
He wrapped me in his loving arms, made me royalty. No matter what may come my way, you can hold me down. I'll be shouting hallelujah while dancing on solid ground. Yes, I'm a blood-bought, bona fide child of the King. He wrapped me in his loving arms and made me royalty. No matter what may come my way, you can hold me down. I'll be shouting hallelujah while dancing on solid ground.
You may be down, has somehow forgotten that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. Right now it seems that there's no way out and you're going under. But God has proven time and time again He'll take care of you. And He'll do it again. Oh, He'll do it again. I know if you just take a look at where you are now and where you have been, hasn't He always come through and all for you? He's the same now as then. May not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do it again. You're going through, He knows how you're hurting. You see, He knows just how your heart's been broken in two. Oh, but He's the God of the stars and the sun and the seas, and He is your Father. You see, He can't calm the storm, and you'll find some way to fix this for you. And you'll do it again. Oh, He'll do it again. I know if you just take a look at where you
has been the broadcast time of the Rushing Wind Church of God with Pastor David Tucker from Owensboro, Kentucky. You may contact Pastor Tucker by emailing rwcogpastor@gmail.com. That's rwcogpastor@gmail.com, or through the website www.rushingwindchurch.com. That's rushingwindchurch.com. Or write to P.O. Box 22415, Owensboro, Kentucky. The zip code is 42304. Again, that's P.O. Box 22415, Owensboro, Kentucky.
the zip code 42304, and again the website rushingwindchurch.com. Thanks for listening to Mighty Winds of Praise with Pastor David Tucker on VOTL Radio.